Reading from chapter 17, Pramaya, Jiva's fall from Maya. Om Jnanati Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sita Tanya Manopistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Rubyascha Prakashin Dudayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, we're continuing this study, and Brajanath, from a Brahmin family, from a very scholarly Brahmin family, one of the top logicians, budding logicians in India, became a devotee, and he's learning from Raghunath Das Babaji. Tattva means subjects of science, or the science of bhakti. What are the subjects? And they're contained in a writing, kind of like a mission statement called Dasamila, that I think has 8 verses that discuss Sambandhagyan, basically metaphysics, what is the metaphysics of bhakti. And Abhideya, what is the means of realizing that? There's 3 subject matters, basically. What is reality? How do you realize reality? What is the result of doing so in any philosophy? So what is reality? And it is described in 8 verses. The means of realizing reality is described in 1 verse, Abhideya, and the result of doing so, which is prema, is described in 1 verse. So through this dialogue with Raghunath Das Babaji, all the tattvas of Krishna consciousness are being explained. And buddha bhava samabhita, that when you have knowledge, then it will inform the correct actions and produce the same results. So most of the teachings of Krishna consciousness is some Sambandhagyan, philosophical knowledge, because the right conception will do the right things and you'll get the right results. When you understand God and his energies, you will engage in the service of God, devotional service, and the fruit will be love of God. So we've been discussing Jiva Tattva, and he asked a question. The last question that was asked is, what are the varieties of Buddha Jeeves or conditioned souls? And he described that they basically fall into 5 different levels of consciousness. There's contracted consciousness. And that's like trees and stones. And then there's I just want to see what he called that. One second, Emily. No, there's covered consciousness, achadita chetana. Then there's consciousness which is shrunken or contracted. The one that is covered is like trees, etc., like that. And then there's consciousness which is shrunken or contracted, and those are the beasts and birds and fish and so many things. And then there's budding consciousness, developed consciousness, and fully developed consciousness. Budding consciousness is immoral and moral theists. Developed consciousness is contracted. Budding consciousness is immoral and moral theists. It's somehow a level of atheists, moral and immoral atheists. It's somehow a level of a consciousness that's more aware than the animals. Then there's budding consciousness, that's budding consciousness. Then there's developed consciousness, that's the moral theists and the sadhakas. And then there's fully developed consciousness, and those who attain prema or bhava. So he's discussed all these things with his Guru Maharaj, and then Vrajanath returns home and he's cultivating, he's contemplating all the subjects that he's learned. So now basically we're going to read more of this story, which is kind of interesting. Chapter 17. Vrajanath's grandmother completed all the arrangements for his marriage. And in the evening, she explained everything to him. Vrajanath simply took his meal in silence and made no reply that day. He lay awake on his bed late that night, deep in thought about the state of the pure spirit soul. Meanwhile, his elderly grandmother was busy trying to find ways of convincing him to agree to the marriage. So, there are different people with different levels of spiritual awakening and different levels of detachment. There's people on different levels of Jnana Sukriti and Bhakti Sukriti. And someone may have some budding Bhakti Sukriti, but may be highly evolved in Jnana Sukriti, and he may stay brahmachari, but he may not get married. And someone may have higher level of bhakti sukriti, but maybe less detached, and you may get that. But in bhakti, the advancement is not one's level of renunciation, it's one's level of dedication to Krishna. But just because one is celibate or sannyasi doesn't make one more advanced. But as one develops on the bhakti platform, he will gradually become more and more detached in Krishna consciousness. And he may externally lead a more renounced life, or he may stay within the world and do his service. But the judgment of advancement on the bhakti path is how much one is attracted to Krishna. So it appears that Vrajanath is in a common quandary, because generally people need to get married, and generally when people want to renounce the world, they do it out of frustration They can't succeed in the world, like we see that in Vrindavan. We see that in Vrindavan, how many people just take to the life of sadhus simply because it's the best life that they can have. They don't want to take responsibility in the world. Or you can have misconception. And misconception is, like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that when taking the fresh spiritual life means renunciation. Of course, this is also out of frustration and misconception. So therefore, because it's generally like that, people in Indian culture who, when they are young, before they're married, pursue a life of renunciation are discouraged. And we can see even in the Krishna consciousness movement, that was probably the better tack for most people. They should have been, we promoted initially the Brahmacharya Ashram, et cetera, but actually most of the people should have been trained and encouraged to get married, not, do it because they failed the Brahmacharya Ashram. It used to be that the graduation from the Brahmacharya Ashram is like a humiliating failure, that you can't keep it up. But here, and therefore there's tension. There's tension when Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to take a life of renunciation, and his parents, even who are devotees, were strongly opposed, and even Lord Chaitanya sent him back for this specific reason, that most people take to renunciation for the wrong reasons. And he didn't want to set the example that renunciation is for losers. So he sent Raghunath Das Goswami back to, don't be Maraka Vairagya, like a monkey. Monkey is renounced in one sense, lives in a tree, but another level, the monkey is the least renounced. But to go back and be a pounds and shilling there, and then we see in that story, it describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita how expert Raghunath Das Goswami was in worldly dealings, as he saved his uncle, who got into trouble in some business dealing with the government, and he saved his life. So it shows that when this person's going to renounce the world, it's not because he's a loser, it's because of realization. And this Vrajanath seems to have this realization, but he'll meet the stiff opposition of his family, especially because at that particular time in Bengal, among certain sectors, the Vaishnavas are not respected. And there's a lot of Brahmanism, people claiming qualifications simply on their birth. This is one of the real hindrances for spiritual life. If you claim advancement due to some label or allegiance, it may prevent you from doing the work to become advanced. That I am a Brahmin, I'm more advanced, I belong to ISKCON, therefore I'm more advanced, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, therefore I'm more advanced. It's not that we don't have deep reverence for allegiance to ISKCON and what Prabhupada's mission does, but that itself does not make one more advanced. One has to do, Prabhupada, even in the Nectar of Devotion, said that a Vaishnava's better than a Brahmin, better than a Goswami, but if he's not following, that doesn't, you know, make one more advanced. So certain allegiances may be noble, certain families may be noble, but it's just a facility to do the work. And if you don't do the work, then you can't get credit. So Vrajanath, now his elderly grandmother is pressuring him to get married. Just then, Vrajanath's maternal cousin, Venu Madhava, arrived. The girl that Vrajanath was supposed to marry was Venu Madhava's paternal cousin. And Vijay Vidyaratna had sent them to finalize the arrangements. So, one of the children of Vrajanath's mother's siblings arrives, his cousin. Veni Madhava inquired, what's the matter? Grandmother, why are you delaying arranging Vraja's marriage? The grandmother replied, in a rather anxious voice, my son, you're an intelligent boy. Perhaps he will change his mind if you speak to him. All my efforts have been in vain. Veni Madhava's character was clearly proclaimed by his short stature, small neck, dark complexion, and his eyes, which blinked frequently. He liked to pry into everything that was going on. Rather than taking care of his own business, but his involvement in others' affairs was never particularly useless. After listening to the old lady, he frowned slightly, then boasted, this is no problem, I just need your permission. Veni Madhava can accomplish anything, you know me quite well. I can make money by just counting waves. Let me discuss. Is counting waves. To make money by counting waves, there's a saying. The explanation is followed. In ancient times, there was a rich Vaishya, became famous all over the country as someone who could make money in any circumstance. Some envious people poisoned the ears of the local king and managed to convince him to send a business demand far away. Anyway, we have no opportunity to make money. King decided to send him to a lonely place near the sea. But this Vaishya, true to his character, sat on the beach counting waves. Whenever a vessel passed across the sea, he would stop it by waving his arms and then say, you're not allowed to cross. King has appointed me to count the waves here, and your vessel is disturbing them. He would argue back and forth and only relent when he had extracted a bribe. In this way, he became a rich man again. Let me discuss this with him once, and if I succeed, then you'll treat me to a nice feast with puris and kachoris. Vrajanath had taken his meal, and he's asleep now, said grandmother. All right, I'll come back in the morning and put things in order, replied Veni Madhava, and returned home. The next day, he returned home early in the morning, carried a loaf in his hand, and completed his morning ablutions. When Vrajanath saw him, he was a little surprised and said, brother, how have you come so early in the morning? Veni Madhava answered, Dada, you've been studying and teaching Nyaya Shastra for a long time now. You're the son of Pandit Harinath Chudamani. You've become famous all over the country. You're the only surviving male member of the house And if you don't have any heirs who will support, who do you suppose will take care of this big house of yours? Brother, we have a request. Please get married. Bajanath replied, Brother, don't give me unnecessary trouble. Nowadays, I'm accepting the shelter of Sri Gaurasundar's bhaktas and don't have any desire to get involved in worldly affairs. I feel real peace in the company of the Vaishnavas in Mayapur, and I don't find any attraction for this world. I will either accept sannyas or spend my life in the shelter of the Vaishnavas' lotus feet. I express my heart to you, because I know that you're my close friend. Don't disclose this to anyone. So sometimes the nature of a person, a broad-minded person, you know, because he's truthful, you tend to see the world through your own eyes. So if one is trusting, his own nature is honest, he may tend to see other people in the same way. Daini Madhava understood that nothing but trickery could change Rajanath's mind, so he cleverly curbed his feelings. And in order to create a particular impression, he said, I've always remained your assistant, whatever you have done. I used to carry your books when you were studying in the Sanskrit school. So now I will carry your staff and water pot when you accept sannyas. It is difficult to understand the minds of wicked people. They have two tongues, and they say one thing with one and exactly the opposite with another. They are bandits in the garb of saints, carrying the name of Sri Ram in the mouth and a knife under their armpit. Bajanath was a simple person. Warming to Venu Madhava's sweet words, he said, Brother, I've always regarded you as my dear friend. Grandmother is just an old woman, but she doesn't understand serious matters. She's very enthusiastic to drown me in the ocean of worldly affairs by getting me married to some girl. It will be a relief if you can change her mind and somehow dissuade her. I will be always indebted to you. So he's trusting, even though the person has two tongues. With one you say one thing, and the other you say the other thing. And this is the effect of Kali Yuga. It's so distressful when you see the lack of straightforwardness and honesty in people, even sometimes to the position of leaders. And it's so refreshing to see abject honesty. And again, I always praise my godbrother, Jayadvaita Maharaj, who's more dedicated to the truth than practically anybody I know. Really would die for it. Daini Madhava replied, No one will dare oppose your desire as long as Sharma Ram is living. Dada, you will see what I am capable of, but just tell me the only thing. Why have you developed such hatred towards the world? Who is advising you to cultivate such feelings of renunciation? So renunciation sometimes is connected with hate, vairagya, against attachment. And there can be a militancy, a dislike. Yeah, that renunciation means a dislike for sense gratification and a dislike for any of the forms of sense gratification. So, Devi Madhava, his cousin, is saying, where did you get this hate from? And to cultivate this. And people can't really say that. It's artificial. It's not natural. Vajranath explained about his renunciation and said, there's one elderly and experienced Babaji called Raghunath Das Babaji in Mayapur. He is my instructor, and I go every day after dusk to the shelter of his feet to find relief from the burning fire of this material world. He's very merciful to me. So it's so nice in that type of culture. Sometimes we think we've advanced so much, but I don't see the quality of life where you can live in a village and basically just walk to see Guru or walk to hear Krishna Katha. So nice. The evil Devi Madhava started thinking, now I understand Brother Vraja's weakness. He had to be brought back to the right track by deception, force, or skill. Outwardly, he said, Brother, don't worry. I'm going home now, but I will gradually change grandmother's mind. So he's just lying, Devi Madhava. And you know, truth, integrity can get you so you can go so far. Because integrity means you will live by your values. And that's so powerful. And how many people can really live, what would we be like if we can live by our values? But this dishonesty means we can twist what we are doing so that it seems that it conforms to our values, but we're never challenged if it is. Devi Madhava pretended to take the road that led to his home, but instead he took another way and reached Srivasangam in Mayapur. There he sat on the raised platform under the Bakul tree and began to admire the opulences of the Vaishnavas. These Vaishnavas are actually enjoying the world. They have such beautiful houses and lovely kunjas. This is such a nice dais in the wonderful courtyard. And each of the kutirs and Vaishnavas sat chanting Harinam on his beads. They seemed quite content, like bulls of religion. The women of the neighboring villages who came to bathe in the Ganga on their own accord supplied the Vaishnavas with fruit, vegetables, water, and various eatables. Devi Madhava thought, the Brahmins have systematized karmakanda to receive these facilities, but instead these group of Babajis are enjoying the cream. All glories to Kali Yuga. These disciples of Kali are having a wonderful time. Oh, my birth in a high Brahmin family is useless. No one even cares about us anymore. What to speak of offering us fruits and water? These Vaishnavas even condemn learned Brahmins, abuse and insult us by calling us lowly and foolish. Brother Vraja fits this description quite well, though. Although he's such a well-educated man, he seems to have sold himself to the sly, loincloth people. I, Venu Madhava, will reform Vrajanath and these Babajis as well. Thinking like this, Venu Madhava entered one of the kutirs, which happened to be the one in which Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting on a mat made of banana trees chanting his Harinam. So people who lack culture, they don't respect any forms of authority except the ones that promote their own power. In fact, they try to destroy the forms of authority. Here he comes in, and this is a great Vaishnav saying. He just sits down because he's a Brahmin family. He's going to consider himself superior. Person's character is evident from his face. And the aging Babaji can understand that Kali personified and entered in the form of the son of a Brahmin. Vaishnavas consider themselves lower than a blade of grass. They offer respect to those who insult them, and they pray for the well-being of an opponent, even if he tortures them. Accordingly, Babaji respectfully offered Venumata a seat. Venumata had no Vaishnav qualities at all, so after sitting down, he offered his blessings to Babaji Maharaj, considering himself above all Vaishnav etiquette. So Vaishnav qualities is such a wonderful thing, but it's a challenge because it's based on a platform of service rather than control. And therefore, on the basis of false ego, one doesn't respond to insult. And because they're free from false ego, they pray for the well-being of their enemies, their opponents. And here's Venimata, he's in the Brahmin family, but so disrespectful. You know, I took some people to this place, Tatiyastan, this sadhu community. People from the outside come to the Artik too. But that's a little risky because here, mostly women, there's about 25 people, 80% women, and they're, you know, from a particular culture. But, you know, I told them, in this place, the women must cover their heads. That's all the sadhus require. I said, this is, you know, they're very... and the women in front of the altar. And then after the Artik, there's another compound with a guru sitting. And one of the women I noticed just really doesn't seem to have culture, but deliberately doesn't like any form of authority. So she paid her basis and she just sat there staring at him. He's a very great person. And he just looked at me, what does she want? Translate. Does someone translate? Oh, I had so much interest. She just wants blessings. But the rituals of our values are so important. I think of the body in the position where the mind, the followers say the ritual is, you can form your life to something higher than yourself. So there's certain modes of behavior, actions, that put you in a position to appreciate God and his devotees. Baba, what is your name? What brings you here? Inquired Babaji Mayasai informally. Devi Madhava became furious by being dressed informally, and he said angrily, "Oh, Babaji, can you become equal to the Brahmin just by wearing a loincloth, a kopan? Never mind, just tell me, what did you do to Vrajanath? Nyaya Panchana. Panchana. What did you do to Vrajanath?" Babaji, understanding the reason for this annoyance, "Please excuse this old man. Don't become offended by my words. Yes, Vrajanath comes here sometimes by his own mercy. Venumadhava, don't think that he's a simpleton. He comes here with ulterior motives. He's being polite at first to gain your confidence. The Brahmins of Velpakur are extremely annoyed at your behavior, and they have consulted with each other and decided to send Vrajanath to you. You're an old man, just be careful. I will keep coming from time to time to inform you how their conspiracy progresses. Don't tell them about me, otherwise you will run into even deeper trouble. I will take love for today." So this is basically politics. So saying, Venimadhava got up and returned to his home. Later that afternoon, okay, I'm going to have to stop now for various reasons a little bit early. Would anyone like to say hello, ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. I mean, I really didn't understand the dialogue between Venu Madhava and I think it was Brajanat. But actually, the question I wanted to ask you was, which one did you say is contracted consciousness? Was it stones or the animals?
The trees and the stones.
Okay.
That's actually covered consciousness.
They're covered.
And animals are contracted consciousness.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought, actually.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay.
And then and the budding consciousness are moral atheists and who else?
Immoral atheists and moral atheists.
Oh, both moral
that's
and
the budding conscious.
Both moral and immoral atheists.
It is immoral atheists, moral theists, sadhakas, and bhava bhaktas. Those are five types of consciousness. People who don't believe in God, but they don't have any morals. People who don't believe in God but have morals.
Yeah.
Moral theists who have principles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, actually, back to this Brajanath and Venu Madhava. You know, when Venu Madhava went to Brajanath, what was he trying to accomplish in that interchange? What was he actually doing?
Repeat that again.
I didn't understand what Venu Madhava was trying to accomplish by going to see Brajanath.
He was trying to accomplish in not getting married.
Oh yeah, no, not Brajanath.
He was going to do some politics. Then he's going to go back to Brajanath and tell him that they spoke so ill of you. So he's going to go back and forth and try to create some discord, so Brajanath will lose faith in his guru and lose the support for his renunciation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. One more person, because I really have to go now after this. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhya Shakripa Sindhya Vyena Kripa Titanam Pavla.